As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick go and go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Megan, I did that, not with a 5-pound weight, but with a half a glass of water with a guy in the church in Stillwater.
A firefighter.
And I said, and I had him hold it. I said, "When you get tired, you can put it down." And he held it there for the entire, you know I don't preach long, so good for him. But at the end, his arm was kind of like this. And like when he finally put it down, it was like, "Don't touch me." It's like a month before he talked to me again. But I should have had the 5-pound weight because he showed me up holding it the whole time. The scripture was talking about the calling of Matthew. Matthew had a job before he was a disciple. What was Matthew? A tax collector. How many of us love tax collectors? Guess what? Back then, some things never change. They didn't like tax collectors back then either. But it was worse because, he was Jewish, but he was collecting Roman taxes, right? They already didn't like the Romans, and he's collecting their taxes. And it was one of those things where it was kind of like okay to cheat. If I came up and said, "Jane," and I'm looking at my paper and Rome says she needs to give me 10 denarii. "You owe 20 denarii. And guess what? I pocket the 10. And then for you rich people, I come up and I go, find me a rich person here. Doug! Doug's going, "Who, me?" Says here you owe a talent. In my mind, I'm reading, I think you owe 3 talents. And I collect the money. So not only were they despised because they were tax collectors and taking money from the Romans who they didn't like, they were liars and cheaters. Just the kind of guy you want on your side when you're starting a group of guys, right? Well, we are going to talk this morning about those people. The world is full of those people. They're the people who don't get it. They aren't like us. They don't talk like us. They don't act like us. They don't believe like us. They don't dress like us. They don't even smell like us. They're folks who do things that make us turn our noses, look the other way, and pretend we didn't see what we know we just saw. Now, for some people, those people would be the poor. For some, it might be those who are uneducated or those who don't speak English. It's their first language or speak English at all. Those with a different skin color. Those who hang out at the gazebo. Those people. And we have a tendency to avoid those people. We try to talk to someone else or make sure that they notice that we didn't see them. Being face to face with them makes us uncomfortable. We cringe because we don't hang out with those people. Matthew is one of those people. And not only did Jesus come and talk to him, Jesus came up to him and he said, "Follow me." A thief, a liar, a Roman supporter, and Jesus said, "Follow me." Now, I'm sure that there's some people that were sitting around there going like, "What's Jesus doing? Doesn't he know that he's a tax collector and he's a no-good scoundrel and a cheat? Why didn't he say to me, follow me? Why didn't he talk to me? Why did he go to Matthew? Why did he go to that person? Well, because Jesus sees what's in our hearts. And he knew that there was room in Matthew's heart to be what he wanted him to be. So he says, follow me. And then he leads him. This is cool. Matthew doesn't take him to his house. Jesus basically says, I'm going to your house. And he takes off. And Matthew follows Jesus. I'm like, yeah, it's cool to be the Lord. You don't have to ask for GPS directions or anything. He's like, going to your house. I know where it is. I'll be there. Yeah. And that's what it was. So he goes and he sits there and he eats. And these people, I'm sure, were getting more and more confused. Going like, why in the world would he be with Matthew? He's a bum. I'm much better than that. Well, there's a thing you got to understand about the Pharisees. Lots of things. But one of the things is they thought they understood the scripture better than everyone else. And they were more holy than anyone else. And so they knew that you didn't eat with one of those people. And because they were unclean. And if you were unclean, then you'd be unclean for being around them. And so Jesus not only was there eating, he was reclining with Matthew at his own table and his sinner friends sharing a meal. Wow. He was with those people. Let me tell you what I think. Jesus came back today in the same way he did the first time, rather than coming in glory like we know he's coming. But if you decide to take a short visit first and do some teaching, you know the first place he wouldn't go? Here. He wouldn't be going to churches. He might go to a crack house. Go to a bar. What's that stuff they give you when you're on morphine to those clinics? You might go to a methadone. Sorry, I have to get help from my wife. She's the other half of my brain. He might go to a methadone clinic, but he surely wouldn't come here because that's not what it was about. You see, they had their system in place. The Jewish leaders did. If you want to be able to worship God, here's what you did. You got clean, you changed into the right clothes, you came to the temple, and it only worked when you were there in the temple in Jerusalem. The only way for those people to get involved in their religion was to come to their building, play by the rules, submit to their system of sacrifices and ritual purity. We're not like that, are we? I hope not. Do we expect people to clean up before they come to church? If someone comes in and they're smelly, do we get as far away from it as we can in the pew? Or do we welcome them? I know what I want the answer to be. But the question is, are we truly reaching out to those people? Do we expect them to clean up and come and act just like us before we let them worship with us? Because if so, we're just as bad as the Pharisees were. Jesus hears the questioning of the Pharisees, and he says this. Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners. That, I want mercy and not sacrifice, that's a quote from Hosea 6:6, if you need to jot that down. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Folks, you're all sick. We all are sick. We're sick because we struggle with sin in our lives. And there's only one physician who can help with that. And that's Jesus. So when you think that because you clean up nice, that someone out there that's not looking quite the same as us, if you look at them differently and that they're those people, I got news for you. Jesus came just as much for them as he did for you. I know. It's hard to believe that God would love anyone more than me. But he loves us all the same. Jesus turned the Pharisee system upside down. Instead of expecting sinners to come to him, Jesus went to the sinners. And that's what evangelism really is. Instead of turning our nose up at those people, we go and share and visit and help and pray and do whatever we can to let Jesus' love flow out of us into them. Because those people need God too. As followers of Jesus, we're called to do nothing less. We sit in our seats, complain about the lostness of sinners and those people. It's pointless, and it's not Christ-like. We got to go where they are, because chances are that's where Jesus is going to be today. Because he came for the sick and not the healthy. We're called to be the church outside of these walls just as much as we're called to be the church when we gather here. But I think in reality, that when we're the church out there to those people, that's when God smiles. We can worship here, but our service is what we do when we go outside the doors. So think about it. Who are those people to you? Political adversaries. Someone in the office who doesn't like you or doesn't act like you. The gazebo kids. Whatever. Whoever those people are for you, I'm challenging you. No, God is challenging you today to see what you can do to reach out to those people with the gospel. And what's the gospel? The good news. How hard is it to share good news? Yeah. We all like to say happy birthday. That's good news. You know, some of us have had a lot more of those than others, but we still, I don't care how grumpy someone acts, they still like to hear their happy birthday on their birthday. You know, just, and if I'm wrong, I'll err on the side of being wrong and tell them happy birthday anyway. So the church, us, we need to be Christ to those people. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we know that we are often guilty of not doing what we should when it comes to reaching out to those around us. We tend to cling to people that are like us. And Father, we know that there's a lot more people out there that aren't like us that need to know you too. So Father, fill each of us with your compassion and some courage to go out to those people this week and to reach out with love. And Father, help us not get weary of doing it when they don't seem to respond, because Father, we know if they don't respond, it's not us they're rejecting, it's you. So help us be the best ambassadors for Christ we can be. And then let your spirit do the rest. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.